T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right. Yankees obviously make some news yesterday, and general manager joins us now, Brian Cashman. Welcome, Cash. How are you?
I'm doing all right, Mike. How you doing?
All righty. First, happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
All right. Your thoughts on yesterday? I heard your remarks from your conference call, but your thoughts on making the first trade of the hot stove season?
Well, I mean, obviously trying to address areas of need, you know, or we're in a window of near-term effort with trying to win a championship, and obviously Seattle's regrouping and playing the long game now, and so we're in a position to match up, you know, where we will hopefully get 2 good, healthy, productive years of Paxton at the very least, and you know, in exchange for, you know, a number of control years, you know, 6 years of Swanson and Sheffield and Dom Williams and obviously dreaming on their ceilings. So we matched up well, and I thought it was something we were going to have to do, and hopefully it benefits both parties.
You know, you made it clear that this was an objective and a kind of a priority. What did you like so much about Paxton?
You know, obviously left-handed. Yep. For the New York Yankees, you know, that speaks to itself. But
agreed.
Obviously, you know, big arm. You know, one of the better available starters, I think, you know, in the marketplace. Clearly, we believe and hope that he's trending in the right direction. You know, the 200 strikeouts certainly stand out last year, you know, so I feel over the last, or we feel over the last 3 years, he's starting to figure it out and put it together and build upon some things, knowing how to go about his business, both, you know, in between starts and obviously on game day. And clearly when he has the ball on the mound, you know, every fifth day, he's pretty competitive and has had a lot of success. So hopefully that'll translate, you know, right here into the Bronx as well. We'll see.
Do you like the idea that the innings, with the gradual climb the last couple of years through the innings, like from where he is to where he went to 160 this year, from 120 to one, whatever it was, 15 to 32 or 160, it was like a climb each year.
Yeah, you know, he had 31 starts if you include his minor leagues in 2016, you know, so he but on the major league side, he had 20 of those starts in 2016, 11 in the minor leagues. And so, yeah, he built up major leagues from 121 innings to 136 to 160. And, you know, obviously his success continued to rise as well with that. So it feels like he's progressing, learning about how to go about being, you know, a competitive major leaguer. And he's had his nicks and bumps along the way, but
yep.
Nothing, but, you know, as we did our deep dive, nothing that would scare us off, but also not to diminish that either. You know, obviously he's had issues, but when he's had them, he's had to take a time out and then he recovers from them. And it doesn't appear to be anything shoulder or elbow related that at least would be a predictable outcome. So the risk factor on him is the same typically as any pitcher. But hopefully, you know, over time he's learned his craft and he's continued to have some takeaways of what's going to keep him on the mound and successful. And so, you know, hopefully he can carry that into the Bronx and follow it up with 2 really good years as he approaches free agency.
You and I both know this place isn't for everybody. We learn that all the time. We know it all the time. And it doesn't mean that it's not a knock. It just isn't. Makeup come into this with him or not really?
I mean, we did as much as we could. You know, there's a lot of former Yankees playing on that team, and we certainly had our personnel reach out to anybody and everybody that has either played alongside of them or coached with them, and to do as much deep dive as we could about the person. And ultimately, it comes back to the word competitor, good teammate, you know, gets along great in the clubhouse, works his tail off, all those things that came back. You know, that was unanimous, consistently coming back from every outlet we would come, we'd have every string we're able to pull on. And so, you know, as you would expect, as our fans would want, we're pulling on every string we possibly can. It doesn't guarantee that it'll play the same way here, but you have to go through those motions nonetheless.
All right, where does that leave you right now with your starting pitching? How do you feel?
I mean, better than I did the day before.
Are you still looking for one more guy?
Absolutely. You know, obviously, once we had CeCe in the fold, we felt we had to at least get two more guys back into this as imports, and so obviously now Paxton's one of those, and we'll continue our focus on the rotation and whether it's a free agent.
Would that be Hap plus, or is that Hap would fill that, or would that be Hap plus?
Well, it's going to be somebody. I mean, it was going to be two past CeCe, so now Paxton's one of those two.
Okay, so now one more. Okay.
I mean, I'm not opposed to doing anything and everything else, but for the most part, I think just sensible. We're going to plug and play with one more and see where that takes us. But yeah, it took a month to get something to line up here with Seattle, so I don't know how much longer it's going to take between the free agents or trades and stuff like that. But we're going to stay engaged, and there's a number of different players available on the board, but we're in a better place, I think, today for the trade we just made yesterday. We'll continue to evaluate and hopefully pull something down. If I could wave the magic wand, I'd do it yesterday, but it just doesn't work that way.
How about the shortstop situation?
Yeah, it's still something we're kicking around. Obviously, it's not a deep position in terms of availability. There are some that are defensive first available players in the marketplace, especially in free agency. There's an abundance of players that you can acquire via trade or free agency on the market for second base, which would mean swinging Gleyber Torres over.
Are you okay with that? I mean, is that something you're not against, or are you against it?
I'm not against it.
Okay.
I mean, it's a natural position. It's just we're still in the evaluation mode of cost of acquisition. How does it look like when the dust settles?
Would he prefer to play short?
I would say yes. I mean, it's his natural position. I've not asked him that question.
Okay, I just wondered.
But I got to believe that, something that he's done his entire life. And you could even see, I think second base is still a developing skill for him.
Yep.
Where shortstop, it just comes, obviously you see the bigger range and the bigger plays there at short, because I just think it's something that, he's used to. Where second base, I think he's not a finished product there. So there is the argument to just leave him at second to finish him off versus playing him over at short for 3 months and then moving him back to second and then having him, continue that journey. So we're wrestling with weighing that versus what's available and ultimately what's going to globally impact us the best in terms of weighing the cost. If we could waiver the wand and do whatever we wanted, what's the best thing to do? And so we haven't determined that yet, and we're still in the information gathering mode about cost associated with acquisition, whether it's free agent or trade still.
If you moved him to short, is there a chance when Didi came back he wouldn't play short and you would move Didi to a different position? Is that possible?
I would hope not, because Didi's pretty spectacular.
But what if he was even better?
I don't see that happening.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
No, I'll be honest.
I mean, Didi's really good. I agree.
Yeah,
he's really good.
Yeah, like, somehow Didi would have to have declined from, from surgery and stuff, which I guess it's always possible.
Right.
But in terms of who's a better shortstop and who would project moving forward, it's still Didi.
Didi's a terrific shortstop. I agree.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the kid is at short. I haven't seen him enough to know, but he might be. I don't know if he's probably considered to be a pretty decent shortstop, right?
He's good. His range, I guess, is not he doesn't have the best range, but he's got great instincts. So I think I think as we move forward, his best position is second base, or third, just because, that the position there is short with the range factor, I think, is certainly something that would be in your best interest. Defensive profile with massive range is the best defender.
Gotcha.
And although you can make that up with great hands and great instincts, which Torres has all those, but I don't think he has that range factor that some of the other good ones for that position do, and that's why I think he plays better eventually over at second base.
And there's obviously, short-term, though, there's a lot of options at second base, clearly. A lot more than there is at short.
There is a lot of trade options. There's a lot of free agent options. But again, our main focus currently is the pitching side of this thing. We're not putting anything on the back burner, but obviously that's going to be the most impactful thing for us. And I think there's less, abilities to import some of those than it is on the infield side. So that's why we're going to laser focus still on the pitching well ahead of everything else, I think.
How about the relief part of this? How do you feel about your bullpen right now as far as what you know you have coming back and your options with the other guys?
I feel like we need to address things still. I mean, obviously right now dust settles. We have Chapman and Betances and Green and Holder and then if Canely can resuscitate, and obviously Sessa, you know, he'll be out of options, and Tarpley and Cole and those guys. But you know, at the end of the day, you know, I'd like to figure a way to either bring back what we lost to free agency, whether it was Britton or Robertson or both, or somehow replace them via free agency, as well as, you know, you could always do that in the trade factor too. So definitely need to tend the garden in the bullpen, as well as finish off that rotation, and then hope, knock on wood, it stays healthy, even though that stuff doesn't ever occur. So.
Well, we know that. I mean, but you got to have enough, because you're always going to have injuries, which last year showed you. We're talking with Brian Cashman. How about first base? You said yesterday not a priority. Where do you sit right now with your first base situation?
It's Voits to lose, Bird to take. Not a priority in the fact that, you know, I got, you know, because of what Voit did and honored, you know, the projections that we did have on him in the minor leagues, that he showed that he could carry that type of weight in the big league level. You know, it's not going to be a priority. It doesn't mean that we won't be open-minded to ideas that come our way, but because we have some heavy lifting in other categories, I think it's more of a back burner, and feel good that we have controllable, cost-effective people there that, and in Voit's case, really produced at the high level when it counted the most. And so we'll see where that might take us. No guarantees, but yeah, my focus currently is on the other areas that we talked about.
You and the people you employ get paid to make a decision on whether that was a one-year wonder or that's what we're going to see from Voit. Where do you come down on that?
Right now, we'll play on that there's more gas in that tank. And again, but while doing that, be open-minded. If things develop over time that make more sense or is more of a safer play, but if we don't necessarily have an abundance of dollars to be throwing around, so I need to allocate the money for the more obvious needs, and then see, you know, when the dust settles, how much is left, and if it's worth deploying in another arena. But again, we're pretty impressed with what Luke Voit did, and we can't deny that Bird still has a ceiling, despite obviously the frustrations that he and we and as well as our fan base has experienced, because he's really, the injuries have denied his ability to be the player he's capable of being. So, but it doesn't mean that he still doesn't, you know, possess those abilities. It's just time will tell whether he'll ever be, you know, what he had a chance to being. So we'll see.
Baseball's a funny game, you know, and we're talking with Brian Cashman, how a guy like Voit can have the impact he had on the Yankees, and a guy like Pierce had the impact he had on the Red Sox. You know, you never know where it's coming from.
No, that is correct. So we'll see what happens, but hopefully, you know, I had some good advice that ran us into Voit, and again, I've got a lot of good quality people surrounding me, giving me advice all the time, so hopefully we can run into some more good opportunities that present themselves this winter that can impact us in a really positive way, like Voit did this past season.
Two screaming questions. Number one, is it more likely the last starter comes from a trade or a free agent, or is it 50-50?
It's tough to say still. You know, I think, you know, we are engaged with teams still on trade discussions, and clearly engaged with the free agent market. So we're in a better position because we've gotten one of the two starters now in the fold with Paxton, but so I think it gives us a little bit of the ability to be more patient or disciplined in our next chess move. But at the same time, you know, I need to impact this club in a real positive way, and you know, I think we all would like to put our heads on a pillow as we go into spring training, feeling like, you know, the winter effort was a strong one. It won't guarantee, you know, anything, because you know how long a 6-month season is, and you know, performing here in the Bronx, the American League East, and obviously staying healthy, all those things are difficult in the pitching world. But at the end of it all, I definitely and we definitely want to impact for our fan base. There's some opportunities here that I don't think we can miss. So hopefully we'll be able to get something done here sooner than later, and that we'll be proud of, and at least can dream big on. So we'll see.
And also, there's a couple of high-ticket items out there that we all know about, and you are the Yankees. Everyone wants you to come kick the tires. What's the chances?
We kick the tires on everything. I mean, I think we've been a lot more disciplined over the course of the last number of years
you sure
than
have, yeah.
Our history has been. So we're connected constantly, but I think that we we're constantly.
Does that mean you're out of that game or not out of that game?
Well, like we're ever out of the game. You know, we imported a big contract last year via trade. That's no different than a free agent signing, so to speak, with that kind of money commitment. So I think that's a demonstration of that we are, you know, big game, you know, hunters and can play on big stuff no matter what. But I just think I'd like to think that we're very disciplined in the process and careful, and you know, as we should be. And hopefully, you know, again, I think the process has served us well here. You know, hopefully that'll lead us into a good decision-making mode as we are forced to make some tough calls, whatever they're going to be as we move forward. So I think there's still a lot more information to be gathered, both on financial expectations as well as, you know, makeup assessments and fits here for our club and in our universe. And I think that work is, you know, on the bigger ticket items is still yet to be had, but obviously, 'tis the season to do it.
Machado's not in Didi's class as a shortstop. Not a lot of guys are. But do you think he's a workable shortstop, or you don't look at him as a shortstop long term?
He played shortstop in the World Series for the National League champion Dodgers. So, you know, obviously he's good enough to assist getting the team to a World Series contending situation. So I can't say he can't play it. Obviously, his best position is third. But he obviously finished the full year in his free agent walk year as a shortstop. So,
and would Harper be a guy that is first base something that is a serious consideration in anything with him? Do you look at him as an outfield prospect or as a guy who also could play first base?
You know, I know he's athletic and I know he's capable, I'm sure, of doing a lot of different things. But it's hard to, you know, from my perspective, I think to place financial bets to that category on a change of position.
Makes sense. I agree with that. That's a good point.
I can't deny that, you know, he's a very gifted and talented individual, but, you know, I don't see in reality that, you know, that would be a safe bet. But I wouldn't rule anything out with anything because that's our job. Our job is to evaluate all options and see how they fit in our universe and I've been around a long time. You've been covering us for a long time. Our fans have been watching us for a long time. So what may or may not fit today doesn't mean it won't fit tomorrow. So the universe is constantly changing and it's just up to us to be capable of pivoting, adjusting and open-minded to different options at a moment's notice. So as we continue to walk this path, we're going to stay engaged with all players in the marketplace and continue to evaluate it and then ownership eventually dictate the final call.
And there's some interesting starting pitches that could be on either list. How many guys would you say in the round number that you'd be interested in? Is it a wide number or is it more of a more economical number?
Well, I guess it depends on the definition of wide, but I'd say there's probably, if I had to guess, there's probably, you know, between the trade and free agents, there's 10 or 11 guys.
Yeah, I would think so. That's a fair number, yeah, which is a lot. That's a pretty wide number to me to have that many. There's some good names out there.
Yeah, no, there are. There's some teams that are open to listening on trades, whether, you know, they're not going to trade all of them, but they're certainly listening on some of them, and some teams have a specific, player they're open to trading, and then clearly the free agents are the free agents. So you mix them all together and try to assess, you know, acquisition cost, whether it's prospect capital with importing the salaries that they possess or will possess through arbitration, or, you know, throwing a boatload of cash on a shorter or long-term deal, depending on who the free agent is. And you know, in some cases, there's a attachment to a qualifying offer on the free agent side, but not with all of them. And so you have to factor all those pressure points in there. And then again, free agents, they determine, you know, where they would prefer to play with the landscape that they're negotiating with. And so, you know, that's what we're still trying to determine, what's more realistic than others. And you know, at some point we got to, you know, as I use that term, land the plane. And so, you know, yesterday was a good start, took a while, but we got some time left in the winter here, and so we got more work to be, you know, finishing off at some point.
Well, you know, when we talked to you, you just finished your season. You've now had another month to examine your team. What did you learn about your team in your examination in the last month that maybe you was a little different than what you thought right after the season ended? And any change in your opinion on your team or your season?
No. I mean, disappointing that, you know, that we didn't, you know, finish off.
I mean, you won 100 games, which is a nice year, that's for sure.
But,
yes.
I mean, but, you know, on the positive side, yeah, we have a great team. And on the negative side, it wasn't great enough. And and we'll continue trying to.
Did anything surprise you or displease you about your, like, surprise you on the downside? Like, maybe you expected something that didn't happen for your team in the postseason? Was there anything that you thought,
yeah,
wow?
We didn't beat Boston.
Well,
I thought we were
okay.
capable.
Yeah, you are capable, but, you know, they outpitched you.
Yeah, so, you know, they did a lot of things that you know, in that series that allowed them to get past us, and they did it to everybody. So
they got a lot of timely hits, which is what it comes down to a lot of times. You know that? Timely hits.
Yeah.
You know, you got to pitch it, catch it, and then get a couple of timely hits. That's how you win.
Yeah, so all I can do is continue to add to what we have, hopefully in a positive way, and that's our laser focus, which is continuing to, you know, hey, if we feel like this is going to make us better, we're all in on trying to do it, and you know, just compare it to what the other alternatives are, and you know, all I really care about when the dust settles is our fans feel good about it, and then whether it's CC, who's, you know, entering his last season of the year, or Aaron Judge, or Seve, or Tanaka, who's over in Japan right now, if all these guys are like, wow, I'm excited by what they've added to the current group we've got. You know, that'll get me my juice flowing too, because those guys obviously are important to us, and I'm not naming all the guys, but I that also makes me feel better when a Hicks or a Dylan Betances or all these guys are out there going, they're starting to salivate if we start adding, you know, some quality people and talent into this mix, because obviously we need it. You know, we need to add to it. So hopefully what we have will stay as good as they are, and we can import some people that can make us better.
You were right about Hicks. I never thought he'd be that good a hitter. He's a good fielder. We know how athletic he is. He's been a much better hitter than I thought he would be day in and day out. He really has. He's improved as a hitter. He really has.
Yeah, he's talented, and you know, I love the way he goes about his business, and obviously we have other decisions to make. Hicks and Dellen and Didi, obviously they're all free agents at the end of the year.
Yep.
And so obviously those are also part of discussion topics for another day, I guess, you know, because, you know, they're all very talented, valuable players.
Absolutely.
As we move forward, and free agency is looming, you know, upon us after the 2019 season. So, you know, the work never stops. You got to deal with all aspects of this stuff. It's not just trading and importing guys via free agency. You got to deal with the arbitration stuff and the pending free agent stuff as well. And so we'll see what happens.
And the other thing is that I really noticed last year, Cash, is that how much the team missed Judge when he wasn't there. You know, he's become that special a player. You can see that, and how different the team is when he's there.
No question.
See the difference.
I mean, he was obviously having the follow-up. You know, a lot of times people see the sophomore jinx or whatever, but that never happened here. He was an MVP. MVP category type performer, and then he went down, and you know, certainly we missed him, and it was great to get him back, and then he impacted us in such a big way even through the playoffs. So yeah, he you know, he's a big man that casts a very long shadow.
He does.
And and so everybody feels his presence in a positive way for us when he's around, and we know what he can do with the baseball and impact it. So it's good to get him back, and hopefully we can, you know, avoid having guys pitch him up and in, and he can get out of the way a little bit easier next time around, so we don't lose him.
Yeah, that's for sure. He really made a difference, and he played well in the postseason. All right, thanks. Listen, we'll talk soon. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Brian Cashman on the addition of Paxton. Typical Yankees, kick every tire. You know, there are guys on the free agent market, you know the names that are on there, including guys like Happ and Eovaldi's on there. Eovaldi's very attractive. Now you got to worry about his injury situation, but if he's healthy, he's a major force. Plus, he's very good in a big game, as you know, and that's a quality. He brings that quality there, and obviously, you know, top pitchers, as you know, Indians are looking to move pitchers, as we all know, and clearly, although I'm not in love with it, Machado is a factor. There's no question. He did not dismiss him as shortstop. I gave him the opportunity to do that. He did not dismiss him at shortstop, although you can tell how much they like Didi's defense, which is real. I mean, they don't think Torres can play the same level of defense. You got that also. That they don't, because Didi's a top shortstop. We all know that. I mean, Manny Machado can't play in Didi's league, and they don't think Torres can either. He doesn't have the range, according to Cash. So, you know, even we haven't seen a lot of mature, but they know his range better than we do, and they say he doesn't have that. That his best position is either second or third going forward. So you know that, you take that into account, which makes me think they're not in love with the idea. Although there's more second base guys available, they're not in love with the idea of moving Torres to shortstop. Doesn't sound like that's their first quality. And as a matter of fact, I know they've tried to at least check on a couple of shortstops in trade that haven't worked out. So they may be thinking of keeping Torres at second. I know a lot of people liked, and so did I, the idea of moving Daniel Murphy in here and giving him a role. That would only be if Torres goes to short. All right. The Devils, that's not our package. Our package starts with the Springsteen tickets, which are a great buy. We already have a bid at $8,100. That's a big, big ticket. It's an expensive ticket on the face. And again, that's coming to an end. So we got $8,100 there. The Yankee legend is at $3,000. And the others, they're all significantly up already. We'll get them all up to you. They're all in the, at least, the lowest one's $1,500 already. So we just keep bidding up until 6:30 for those. 6 o'clock for the Springsteen, which is already at $8,100. 1-800-548-6479. 1-800-5-HUNGRY. Back after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.